Now for our first reading in God's Word, if we could turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2, and at verse 23. Mark chapter 2, verse 23, page 838 in the Church Bibles. When our Lord and Saviour Jesus gives us instruction concerning the Sabbath day, let us hear the word of our God. One Sabbath he was going through the grain fields, and as they made their way, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees were saying to him, "Look, why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath?" And he said to them, "Have you never read what David did when he was in need and was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God in the time of Abiathar the high priest, and ate the bread of the presence, which it is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those who were with him. And he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.'" Well, if you could turn to Exodus chapter 20, where we'll read the fourth commandment, beginning at verse 8. Exodus chapter 20, at verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." Amen. Well, there are few of the commandments as controversial as this one. There may be quite significant differences in how the other commandments are applied in our lives, but generally Christians think it is a good thing to worship God, to not kill, to not steal. But this commandment concerning the Sabbath day has fallen on incredibly hard times. Even in evangelical churches, to be concerned about the Sabbath day is to be viewed as legalistic, contrary to the liberty that we have as New Testament Christians, and being concerned about something that is really irrelevant to our greater duties of loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And I have to confess as well that my own history with this commandment is somewhat checkered. There was one occasion I was smacked when I was a child. And the reason for that was an egregious abuse of this, the fourth commandment. I'll spare you the full story, but my mum and dad are here, and they can tell you all the gory details later. But I want to say that in contrast to much evangelical thinking, and in contrast to my own early experiences of this commandment, that this Sabbath day is a great gift and blessing that God has given to his people. This weekly day of rest and worship is one of the kindest things God has given to his church. And to begin to see the beauty of this commandment, just think of one of the great complaints that there is in society today, that we are so time pressured, that we're constantly tired, overworked, unable to focus and give our time to the things that really matter. And into that time-pressured, time-poor society, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could say that our God had baked into the very rhythm of life the remedy for all of that? A regular day of rest to do what matters more than anything in all the world, to worship our God and to be with our family. And of course, the great glory of the fourth commandment is that it tells us our good God has done just that. He has set apart one day in seven for us to rest and do what matters. And as we look at the fourth commandment this evening, we'll see three things. We'll see that it is, verse 8, a day of holy remembering. We'll see verses 9 to 10. That it is a day for worshipping and resting. And we'll see verse 11 and a few other passages in Scripture. That this is a day marking creation, redemption, and re-creation. So a day of holy remembering, a day of rest and worship, and a day marking creation and redemption. First, we see verse 8 concerning the Sabbath. Exactly what this day is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And this tells us very obviously that the Sabbath is a day, a whole day, given to remembrance and holiness. But why does the commandment begin with this call to remember? How can Israel be asked to remember the Sabbath when they are just being given the commandment? Well, for two reasons. First, because this Sabbath ordinance is not new. This isn't the first mention of the Sabbath that Israel has had. Think back to Exodus 16 when Israel were given manna, this bread from heaven. And they were told there, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. The Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. When we come to the Ten Commandments here at Sinai, this Sabbath commandment isn't new. Israel already know it. And as we'll go on to see, this commandment has been there from the foundation of the world. Israel are asked to remember the Sabbath because they already know it. But this call to remember the Sabbath has a deeper meaning. The call to remember the Sabbath is really a call to give themselves to the Sabbath. This morning we celebrated the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. But that remembering in the Lord's Supper isn't just a thinking about something that has happened in the past that Jesus once did for us. The remembering in the Lord's Supper is about a present communion with the risen Jesus. It's about a renewed delight in what Jesus has done for us. It's about an active strengthening of our communion with our Savior. Or to give another instance of remembering, just because it's on my mind today. What is it to remember someone's birthday? It isn't just to think about a birthday. To remember someone's birthday is to give gifts, to celebrate together, to have a special meal together, to give yourself to celebrate something with someone. And that's what remember the Lord's Day means here. The same thing as remembering Jesus' death in the Lord's Supper. The same thing as remembering someone's birthday. God is saying to Israel, give yourselves to celebrate the Sabbath day. Give yourselves wholly to it. Remember the Sabbath day. And that call to Israel was so, so needed. Time and again they would forget the Sabbath. Think of how Nehemiah had to deal with Israel in Nehemiah 13. I confronted, he says, the nobles of Judah. What is this evil thing you are doing, profaning the Sabbath day? Did not your fathers act in this way? And did not our God bring all this disaster on us and this city? Now you are bringing more wrath on Israel by profaning the Sabbath. Israel in Nehemiah's day needed this call. Remember what you have forgotten. Remember the Sabbath day. And today we, in the culture we live in, need this call to remember the Sabbath day as well. The evangelical church has forgotten this commandment. In a culture that is 24/7, in a culture that has forgotten the blessing of this commandment, we all need to hear, remember. But as well as a day of remembrance, this Sabbath day is a day that is different, that is set apart. The whole point of remembering the Sabbath day is to keep it holy, to set it apart, to make it different. The Sabbath as a day is just to be different, separate from other days. It's to look and feel distinct, both in what we do and how we do it. And the great way of it being different from all other days is that it is to be that day where we remember the Lord of the Sabbath, who he is and what he has done for us. And we should ask ourselves when we come to this commandment, if people were observing our lives, would how we act, how we talk on this day, show that it is a day that is holy, set apart, separate, not 1 hour in the morning, not 1 hour in the evening, the whole day? Do our lives show that this is a day set apart? So that is what the Sabbath day is, a day of holy, set apart remembering. But second then, it's a day of worship and rest. This is how we keep the Sabbath, worshipping and resting, verses 9 and 10. But when we turn to these verses, we see something surprising perhaps about Sabbath keeping. How we keep the Sabbath begins with how we observe the other 6 days of the week. We're told, verse 9, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. What's obvious in this is a high view of work. We have a duty to work. We're all fulfilled when we have a purpose and are doing things with our lives. Work is God's gift for us. It's a creational gift. What was Adam told? The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it. Work is a good gift of God. And the emphasis here is that if we are to Sabbath well, then it's necessary that we work well the other 6 days. For one day in seven to be set apart to God, we need to so order the other six that our work, our hobbies, all the other duties of our life are ordered and complete. If we fritter away the other 6 days of the week, then the pressure will be on us to do these things that we ought not to be doing on the Sabbath day. And so Moses says to Israel, use the 6 days of the week that are given to you to do as you please. Use them well. Work efficiently so that your Sabbath may be set apart as a day of remembrance. But then the command goes on. We work well for 6 days, but then next we keep the Sabbath by worshipping our God. Verse 10, the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And that's telling us that the Sabbath day is a Godward day. It is towards to the Lord your God. This is a day that belongs to God in a special way. God is possessive of the Sabbath day, Leviticus 19. You shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord. My Sabbaths. This is my day, a day for my worship. Leviticus 23 tells us this. 6 days, God says, shall work be done. But on the seventh day, it is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It's a Sabbath to the Lord. Leviticus there says the purpose of the Sabbath is for holy convocation, gathering together as God's people to worship. This is a day towards the Lord of corporate prayer, praise, hearing from God's word. That's the great purpose of this day, a Sabbath towards the Lord. And that's why we have morning and evening worship here in CPC. Not out of custom, not out of tradition, but because the whole day is to be given to worshipping our God, a holy convocation. But as well as worship, the Sabbath is for rest. The Lord knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. And so as well as being to the Lord, this is a day when you shall not do any work. You, your son, your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner that is within your gates. Sabbath, a ceasing, a resting. And that's what we're told here. As well as worship, the Sabbath is a day of rest, from turning away from the busyness of our lives and stopping and resting. But notice that this resting isn't just for ourselves, it's for those around us as well. And that's why we shouldn't really engage in activities on the Sabbath which cause others to work, to do paid work unless it's absolutely necessary. We shouldn't out of habit eat in restaurants or travel for holidays on the Lord's Day because that's causing others to work. It's preventing others from worshipping. It's causing others, our servants on the Sabbath, to do work. Now, we aren't to apply that woodenly. We have to recognize the nature of the society that we live in. We have to freely acknowledge and delight in and encourage works of necessity and mercy to be done on the Lord's Day. Jesus showed this when he healed, when he said that it was good and right for his disciples to feed themselves when they were hungry, as in the passage we read. But with all that said, I think the great need of today is not more liberty in how we observe the Sabbath, but a much more conscientious thinking through of are our lives making this a day of rest for others and for ourselves. Well, worship and rest, the great ends of the Sabbath day. You might have many more practical questions about what we should do, what we shouldn't do. I'm not going to go into that. If you want a list, go and find out the Westminster Larger Catechism. You'll see a nice long list of things to do and things not to do. But what is much more important is our heart's attitude towards this day. And a previous associate minister of this congregation, Chad Van Dixhorn, when considering this day as a day of worship and rest and what we should do and what we shouldn't do, gave what I think is the wisest advice regarding how to keep the Sabbath day. He said that if we worship with God's people morning and evening, and if we share hospitality with God's people in the afternoon, then virtually every practical issue and question we would have about the Lord's day would disappear and be answered. Because we're doing what the day is intended for, worship and being with our church family. But many of you might be thinking, well, that's okay, that's well and good, understand what the fourth commandment's about, the Sabbath. Donald John, have you not heard of this thing called the New Testament? Don't you know that the New Testament says, Colossians chapter 2, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, a new moon, or a Sabbath. These things are a shadow. Donald John, have you never come across Romans chapter 14? One person esteems one day better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Don't you know, Paul calls the person obsessed with days and observing days the weaker brother? Well, the answer is, of course, thankfully, I'm very familiar with the New Testament and with these verses. But we have to understand very carefully what Paul is saying in them. Paul is never doing away with the Sabbath principle. He can't. What he is doing away with is the Jewishness that had been wrapped round the Sabbath. The regulations about gathering sticks and kindling fires. The whole superstructure of Sabbaths, which were baked into the Jewish calendar beyond the weekly Sabbath. What Paul is saying is all these things are gone. The Sabbath, as it was a special sign of the Mosaic covenant, is gone. That is what the New Testament does away with. But the fourth commandment at the heart, at the pivot of the moral law revealed to Israel, that commandment enshrining one day in seven as a day of worship and rest, Paul leaves that day untouched. He cannot touch it because the reasons for this commandment, the reasons for one day in seven of rest and worship are as binding now as they ever were. And it's to them we now turn. Having seen that this is a day of holy remembrance, having seen that this is a day of worship and a day of rest, we now see why the Sabbath is to be kept. Verse 11. And other verses we'll come to. We keep the Sabbath, and the New Testament leaves the Sabbath intrinsically untouched because it is a memorial of creation, redemption, and re-creation. These are the reasons for the Sabbath. First of all, very simply, we keep Sabbath, verse 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, all that is in them. He rested the seventh day. He blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. We keep weekly Sabbath because that is the very rhythm God has baked into his world. And it's the very rhythm that God himself has modeled for us. The Sabbath is unchangeable by any man, just like the definition of marriage, because it is God's creation ordinance first of all. From the very beginning of man's existence, there has been a day of rest where we enter into God's rest. From the very beginning of this world, it has been a day set apart, sanctified, different, holy. It has been a blessed day, the day on which we enter into the blessing of God for his people. And that's why Jesus said, as we read from Mark 2, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching that the Sabbath day was God's gift to his world. It was made for man as a blessing, not as a burden. And as Jesus taught that the Sabbath principle was a creational blessing from God to his world, no one and nothing can take the Sabbath from us. The very creation week tells us that there must be an unchanging pattern of one day in seven as rest. But there's a greater reason than creation to keep one day in seven as worship and rest. How many of you, I wonder, could tell me if I picked on you, what's the difference in the fourth commandment between Exodus and Deuteronomy? I did pick on one person in my family. It was my dad. He knew it off the top of his head. There you go. The fourth commandment in Deuteronomy 5 tells us to observe the Sabbath day, to keep it holy as the Lord your God commanded you, not because God created the world, but because you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, that the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. In Exodus, we're told we keep Sabbath because of creation. In Deuteronomy, we are told the greater reason we keep Sabbath is because of redemption, salvation, because we have been saved from Egypt. Deuteronomy says, you have been saved, therefore keep one day as a day of worship and rest. And in the New Testament, this great redemptional reason for keeping the Sabbath is unchanged, and in fact it is strengthened and deepened, because the salvation of Israel from Egypt is only a faint image of our greater redemption, our greater salvation from our bondage not to Pharaoh, but our bondage to sin. And so why should we keep the Sabbath day now? Because once we were slaves to sin, but Jesus has died and freed us and redeemed us. Redemption undergirds the Sabbath, and we know a greater redemption than Israel. And that's why we keep Sabbath on a Sunday, because that's the day that marks our great redemption. B.B. Warfield, the Princeton theologian, famously wrote, Christ took the Sabbath into the grave with him and brought the Lord's Day out of the grave with him on resurrection morn. Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath and has changed the great day of commemorating our redemption to Sunday, the Lord's Day. The reasons for the day, how we keep it, largely unchanged. But the day is new because our redemption has come. There's one further reason we keep the Lord's Day. Creation, redemption. But also because of our ultimate final rest to come. We rest in Christ for our salvation. And that rest will finally be realized in heaven. But until we get to our final rest in heaven, Hebrews 4:9, there remains a Sabbath for the people of God. Here, our week by week resting reminds us that our salvation is complete in Christ, and that we will rest in him perfectly for all eternity. And that's why John Murray has so beautifully said concerning the Lord's Day, the weekly Sabbath is the divinely established, constant reminder to us of the beginning, creation, and the end, heaven. It is a foretaste of redemption consummated. The Lord's Day is a foretaste of heaven. So the Sabbath is a day of holy remembrance, a day of worship and rest, a day that we honour creation and redemption. Let me just close with a personal testimony and a plea. The testimony comes from a man called Davis A. Young. He is the son of E.J. Young, a great professor of Old Testament at Westminster Theological Seminary in America. Davis Young wrote a biography of his father, E.J. Young, and in there is this statement. The TV set, he says, was turned off on Sunday. My parents were strict Sabbatarians. The Sabbath was set aside for worship and rest. The exceptions were for works of necessity and mercy. We attended both morning and evening worship every Sunday. I never watched or listened to my beloved Phillies and Warriors on Sunday. It was a relief not to have to think about homework on Sunday. Even in the pressure-packed days of college, I routinely got work done before Sunday or early Monday morning. How do you think Davis Young responded to this legalistic upbringing? To this day, he says, I am deeply appreciative of the example that my parents set me in regard of Sunday observance. To this day, I am deeply thankful. And despite my own youthful chastisement over breaking the Sabbath, I can add my amen to what Davis Young was saying. A legacy of Sabbaths well spent is one of the great treasures of my own childhood. And that will be the case for every one of you if you keep Sabbath well. When you reflect back, you will say, I am deeply thankful that I have done this. But if that's a personal testimony, now a plea. Keep the fourth commandment. You will never regret it. Put aside work, everything else. Give yourself to worship and rest on this day. It will be a blessing to you and a blessing much wider than just you. Simon R. Scott of the International Presbyterian Church very recently wrote this, and it is so, so true. One, he says, of the most culturally significant acts Christians in Britain could perform. That gets your attention, doesn't it? The most culturally significant thing that I could do. What is that? What is that? Well, he says, get out your 2020 diaries and mark out every Sabbath day of the year and resolve to keep them holy. He says, I'm convinced that would have a far bigger cultural impact than tweeting about injustice, taking stands on Facebook and the like. The slogan, think global, act local, is true. And it's in the nitty-gritty of the Sabbath commandment that the biggest cultural battles in Britain will be won. Change the culture, he says. Keep the Sabbath. And that is so, so true. If you want to be salt and light in 2020, keep the Sabbath. And so, dear friends, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Amen. May God bless to us His word.